Today, I'm beginning a new series called The End. And if we can open our Bibles to Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 36. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. I know it's kind of weird. In the beginning of the year, Pastor is going to talk about the end. So I want to make it like this. It's the end in the beginning, okay? Or it's in the beginning, it's the end, whatever. On Friday, I had a crazy experience that I've never had in my life. And I've talked about it on Friday night prayer. So if you weren't here, I'm not going to go into details talking about. But on Friday, I woke up from a dream crying. And I couldn't stop for hours. I was driving my kids to school. I was taking a shower at first, brushing my I couldn't stop weeping. I was driving my kids to school. I couldn't stop weeping. My kids came home and said, man, Dad had an experience, Mom. He just kept crying. He never cries. On Friday morning, I woke up from a dream or a vision or a visitation. And I'm not going to go into details because some people will not understand it. I will write it. I wrote it already. I will correct it, you know, my spelling. I'll put it on my blog and I'll let you read it. But I'll just make it short that Jesus came to me in a dream. Never happened in my life, ever. He was awesome. In a dream, we were building a foundation to a building, not a house, something bigger. In this dream, I had about 20 to 30 men, young men from about 25 to 45, somewhere in that area, and we were building a foundation. They were men of different nations, but a lot of them were American men. How do I know? Because of how they looked. You know, men of every culture have their own pride. And you can tell them by their pride. You can tell a Ukrainian by his face, round, the accent, of course. But there's a Ukrainian pride. Okay, there's American pride, there's African pride, there's Chinese pride. Every man carries something. When you look at their face, you can say something. And we were building this foundation. And out of nowhere, this is a dream, a vision, whatever you want to call it. It's in the night. Jesus stands right in front of me, a foot and a half away. And in that dream, my response is twofold. I recognize him immediately. I know him. I know him immediately. He was wearing a long white robe, not like fluffy, like wedding dresses. No, it was just a white robe. And it was not a cheap, you know, kind of a bed sheets type of rope like you see in cheap movies. This was a robe designer's. Now, I couldn't see the details, so I can't tell you that it had these writings on it or whatever. But it was a nice, slim, white robe. He had a head covering, white as well. He had a beard. He had a skinny face, not like mine, round face. Kind of like Tom over there, skinny, you know, long face. He was slim. He was slim. And you could see power coming from him. You can see that he's got muscles. No, seriously. I couldn't see them, of course, but I you could tell. But greater than his power that was coming from him was love. Love like I've never experienced it before. Love that's 1,000 times stronger than when your parents loved you at the best moment of their life. Have you ever had your dad? My dad shows love awesomely. He comes, yesterday he came, gives me a big hug and loves me. You know, and you feel that love of a father. I don't know, maybe you didn't have a father, maybe it was mother for you. Whenever your father is at their best, the love that you feel, Jesus' love in that dream, 1,000 times greater. I've never experienced the love when I saw him. He looked at me and he smiled. His smile was pure, his eyes. I saw his face, although right now I don't remember his face at all. I just know that it was like that. He had a beard and it was all nicely manicured. It wasn't like Dog Dynasty, you know? It wasn't a bush. It wasn't Dog Dynasty or anything like that. And he stood in front of me and smiled. I looked at him for 2 seconds and I dropped to my face. But in those 2 seconds, I panicked. First is fear. Jesus is standing in front of me and the fear just was about to overtake me. And Jesus took that fear like this, boom. This is in that 2 second period that I looked at him. That's all I could stand in front of him. Second, panic was repent. Repent. I'm going to repent. I know I got sins in my life. I don't live in sin, but I got sin. You know, there's a difference. You live in sin. You know you're doing sin, but you just... But there's those sins we commit that we, you know, we don't mean to. And we repent right away, you know. Sometimes you're too rough with somebody. You should be kind and gentle, and you just bang. And then, oh, come on, why did I say those things? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you say a word you shouldn't say. Sometimes you look at somebody you shouldn't look at the way you looked at them. In those 2 seconds that I was looking at him, it seemed long, but I knew it was short. And I said, Jesus, I was right about to repent. Sorry, Jesus, you know. You know how religious repentance? And he just took it away. I felt no guilt right away. It's like before I thought something, he took it away. Fear, he took it away, and he took away. And in front of him, I knew at that moment I have sins, even in my dream. But what I realized about Jesus, that when he looked at me, he didn't see sin. What I heard from his mind to my mind, there was no talking in a dream. Not even a word, just smile. All Jesus did was smile. But what I heard is, I don't look at you as a sinner. I look at you as righteous because I took away all your sins. That's what I heard from him. I was ready to repent. I was ready to fall down and repent. Sorry, Jesus. He took it away. And in front of him, I stood there and I'm like, why do I feel so good? In those 2 seconds. Seriously, that's how the things go through your mind when you are in that weird Kairos moment, that special moment that you have with God. When I looked at his face, light was coming from it. He wasn't as bright as this light or that light over there. It's like the light was on the inside of him, but it was illuminating. What do you call that? Coming through, radiating through. So light, his face was not shining, but the light was coming from the inside, all over. And the glow was coming from all over. And when I looked behind his veil, light was coming from here. And I was wondering, why do you have a veil, Jesus? Why do you have a covering on your head? Moses had to do the same thing in the Old Testament. When he was in the presence of God, his face was shining so much, he had to put a scarf on his head. And I saw his face, although I don't remember it. I remember his love. I remember his joy. And I remember his peace. Jesus wasn't hyper because he was smiling. You know, some people, they smile and they're hyper. You can't just... Because they might have love and joy, but they have no peace. Or you have people who are peaceful. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? But there's no love, and maybe there's love, but there's no joy. Jesus was standing straight. He was looking at me. He was smiling with the smile. Oh, my goodness. And I'm not into guys smiling thing, but you got to get me. You got to understand, I'm not into... And if you're here for the first time, listen, I've never talked about like this, but today I have to share it with you because you got to know how God looks at you when you are saved by his grace. See, I've always preached about great exchange. You know what great exchange is? Where my sins on the cross, my sins were taken from me and put on Jesus, and he has no sin, right? So his perfection was taken from him and by faith put on me. But you know, you preach it, but... A lot of times, Pastor Judy, we preach things. We know in theory, but we've never experienced it. At that moment when I stood in front of him, I've experienced that. I knew I had sinned, but yet in front of him, he had no sin. There was no ounce of judgment, no ounce of condemnation, no guilt coming from him to me. And when I stood in front of him, if he didn't judge me, why would I judge myself? If he didn't judge me, why would I judge myself? And I understood what it's like when Satan is condemning you. When you're in a presence, that's how you know that Satan is somewhere near. You feel condemnation. That's how you know when Jesus is near. You don't feel condemnation. You don't feel guilt. You don't feel... There was not an ounce of judgment. You got to understand, I'm preparing for end time series. Where I'm going to talk about Antichrist. Jesus riding on a white horse. His robes are dipped in blood. Fires coming out of his eyes. That's the book of Revelation. And you would think I would see a Jesus like that. I saw a totally opposite Jesus in my dream. When I stood in front of him, I never knew this, but I guess each man has pride. It's called man pride. Okay? Woman has her own pride too, of course. But man pride, this is what I mean by man pride. As soon as I stood in front of him, the covering, the layer, that's it. The layer of my man pride just fell away. And I felt like, you know when your parents hug you And you're like, that man pride thing, that shyness, that women are easier. Women are like, Men are like, come on, stay back. And I'm a proud man. I've been told that, and I know that. A few times I've been told that. I'm working on it. It might take till the day of Christ Jesus, but I'm working on it. And all that fell away. And I could experience his love on such a level. You know what stops us? I realize it now. What stops us from experiencing the love of Jesus in worship, in life? It's that man pride. Guys, you know why we sometimes don't experience the love of God to the fullest? And women too. It's because we have these layers of these masks we have. We hide behind. We build these walls around ourselves. We got to look a certain way. We can't lift our hands. Many of us are... We drop these layers at football game much faster than we do in church for Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes you wonder, why don't I experience Jesus? Because of these layers. It's that intellectual layer. It's the pride level layer. It's I'm a pastor now, and I'm so many years old, and I can't lift my hands. Sometimes I'm standing there, and I want to run when the Spirit of God hits me. But I'm like, what will the new people think? I see this happen all the time at a football game. I was watching a game, Johnny Manziel, the last game on New Year's. When they won that game, all these people started running around into the football field. I've never had people, when I finish the message, run to the front and go, yeah, Pastor! Settle down. Put your seatbelt on right now, okay? Put the seatbelt on, bro. Hallelujah. All those layers fell off me. And I felt naked in front of him. Well, I was dressed, but I felt transparent. And in those 2 seconds, I stood and looked at him. And then I fell on my knees like this. And I fell to his knees like this, into his robe. And I started weeping. And I never got up from that position for half an hour. I don't know how long the dream lasted. You know, dream time. But in my dream, it was half an hour I was weeping. Jesus stood there. I don't know, 5-10 minutes, smiling at me, just smiling. Then the guys, the 20 to 30 men that were around me, were building something. They came to him and they were like, wow. One thing I want to tell you, that I never was surprised that he existed. When I saw him in my dream, I didn't say, wow, you really exist. Huh, I've been preaching about you all these years, but you really exist. No, my faith was real in the dream. And I wasn't shocked. I was like, yeah, I know you exist. I'm glad you're here. You came to me. That was the feeling. I felt so honored. I just broke down. You came to me, Jesus. And I broke down. Why did I broke down? And in my dream, I broke down and said to Jesus, Jesus, I had to be strong since I was 6 years old. And now you're here. I can let go. That's weird. I had to be strong since this time, 6 years old. I was the oldest in my family. I always had to be responsible. Had to be responsible in business, had to be responsible in church, had to carry all this weight. When church doesn't have enough money, I have to smile and say, we got so much money, we don't know what to do with people. And then secretly, that responsibility, you know? And I'm control freak too, so I take more responsibility than I need to. Sometimes I feel like if I don't do it, who's gonna do it, right? You control freaks understand. Yeah, you know, you understand me. Yeah, you free spirits are like, what? I thought control was a sin. That's from the devil. And we control say, Jesus, can you tell Mary to help me? I'm working here feeding you. And she's just sitting at your feet. Jesus, if I don't work, you don't eat. And your disciples don't eat. If I don't cook, if Mary doesn't help me. Right? So you need control people. Because if there was no control people, we wouldn't eat. No, that's not from a dream. That's just extra. And I said, without words, it's all mind communication. Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking, and he answers you before you're finished wording your thoughts. And I stood there and I wept. The only example I could bring is, imagine if you're a mother and you have 3 kids or 4 kids at home. Your husband is not home, and a band of bandits, evil people, drug dealers, murderers, rapists, around your house, and they're trying to break in. And you barricade your house because you know the reputation of these people. You barricade, but you know it's the matter. You call the police, you call your husband, but they're not coming. And you know it's a matter of time before they break in. They're just chipping through the doors. And so you are strong for other people, for your kids. You try not to panic, although you panic inside, but you try not to panic. You try not to break down, although your kids are crying. And for days now, or for hours and days, no help comes. And so you're strong for everybody else. Have you ever been strong for everybody else when things were not going good? Maybe you were depressed, but you had to smile? You carry that. Some of you carry that, just like I did. I do. Because I stood there and I just wept on my knees. And as I was weeping for about, 5-10 minutes, Jesus stood there and then he turned around and he started meeting and talking to the 20 guys. And they all surrounded him and I can't get up and I'm just weeping. I just can't get up, I'm weeping. And he's talking to them, smiling. I can't hear what they're saying. He is actually talking to them. To me, he didn't talk. He didn't say a word. The last scene is Jesus slowly walking away, smiling, walking away. And they form two lines. The man formed two lines and they stand on one knee. Some stand on two knees and they bow down in front of him. And I wake up. When I wake up, I'm just crying. I can't stop. So I wake up Tanya. This is exactly 6 a.m. I wake up Tanya and I'm not a crying man. There was a time when I prayed and said, God, why don't I cry? Sometimes the pain I feel, it would be good for me to cry. Why don't I cry? My tear ducts were open. I cried, I woke up, and I cried and cried for hours. That experience, that love, I woke up and I still felt it. I still felt that love. I still felt that joy. I still felt that peace that he walked in. Perfect peace. Oh my goodness. He was not showing peace. Peace was coming out of him. Love was coming out of him. Joy was coming out of him, out of his face. It was too much. I can't explain it. I told Tanya everything, and I'm just crying. I can't even put words together. I'm just telling her. I'm driving to school. I'm telling my kids of what Jesus has shown me. Three things that I understood from this. The Lord spoke to me. Number one, we don't have to carry the burdens that we carry. Jesus said, put all your cares upon me because I care for you. I don't have to carry this anymore. Jesus is here with me. He's also with you. And if he's with you, you don't have to carry all that pressure. Does that mean I'm going to just quit and do nothing? No, I'm going to work hard, but I'm not going to work hard mentally carrying all that. Because I can't. It's his job to care for me. He is my Father. God cares for me. You can clap here. He cares for me. In his presence, I know how everything just fall off. All these layers fall off. And I just thought, what if we on earth here, right now, as we live now, we try to get rid of these layers? What if we loved stronger? What if we had more joy? What if we had more peace? I mean, how much more can we experience the Bible? How much more can we experience the worship? How much more can we receive in prayer? These walls that we build, they separate us. I felt his love. And after a few hours, that feeling went away and I'm back to normal now. But you know what that love feels like? I felt that love before, not to the same magnitude, not to the same level, but in worship and in prayer, I felt that love. We can experience the love of Jesus on the earth. We don't have to have some revelation or visitation. Most of you won't have it. Some of you will have it once in a lifetime. This doesn't happen every Tuesday to me or Friday. This was once in a lifetime. And I wasn't looking for it. We don't seek signs and wonders. They follow us. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. It just happened. Changed my life. Now I know what the love of God is. Now I know I want more of that. In a few hours after that dream ended, that vision ended, my senses were back. My walls were back up again. It's shocking how we build the walls when we walk in and how we can't feel the presence of God. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in the Word and I'm going to try to love people with the love of Jesus. In worship, I'm going to try to experience that love as much as I can. I don't want to live without that love. I don't want a pastor without that love. I don't want a church that doesn't know the love of Jesus. I want you to know the riches, the depth of His love. His love is going to change everything. Oh, I wish I had that love I felt there. But you know what? When I woke up and I prayed, I said, Lord, why is it all going away? I felt like somebody hit me in the head walking that whole day. I was like, what happened to me? If somebody told me that, I would say, you're crazy. Let me see if you got your gospel correct. Because, you know, I'm not quickly to just, you know, accept things. And you shouldn't either. You should always line it up with the Bible and see if what I'm saying lines up with the Bible. If it doesn't, it's junk. So I want you to be the church. Even if your pastor stands here and says, I had a revelation. Okay, pastor, let me see. Does this line with the Bible? Okay. I want to walk in that love. I want to experience that love. And that's the love that people want to see. That's the love that the world wants to see. The love of Jesus. Who were those 20 to 30 men? I don't know. But they were touched by him too. They didn't really know him in the beginning. But when he spent some time with them while I was weeping, and then I woke up and I was like, man, why didn't I talk to him? Why didn't I say something? Why did I have to be such a baby and cry and cry and cry? Come on. But I guess, you know what? The only thing that came to me was, you're already living in his will. You already pray and hear him every day. He doesn't need to tell you anything. Oh, he already said it in his word. Sometimes we look for a new thing, new word from God, new prophecy. Give me one more. Some people seek signs. Some people seek prophecy. Some people seek feelings. It's in his word. And if you're in his will, he doesn't need to tell you anything else. His smile told me, you are my boy and I'm pleased with you. That's what his smile told me. His smile told me everything. That was it. And I feel good now. Another thing his smile told me, you got that one thing right. You know, Paul talks about this one thing I do. For many years I struggled, what would be the vision of my life? What would be the vision? You know, I have business vision for my life. I have family vision. But what would be my above everything vision? What am I living for? Do you have that one thing you do? Above your money making, above your education, above your family and friends and what you want to accomplish in this world. What is that one thing you do for eternity? And a few years ago, struggling with what is the one thing, and finally I came to that one thing I do. And that for me is, as a pastor especially, I want to see more people from the world come into the kingdom. That's my one thing I do. That's why I preach it. That's why I encourage you to bring your friends, your family closer to Jesus. Because that's the one thing I do. And I felt when he smiled at me, he smiled at that. He smiled at my vision, bringing people closer to Jesus. It's all good that we worship. It's all good that we pray and study the word. It's all good. You can know the Great Commission and not do the Great Commission. You can know the word of God, but you don't do the word of God. So what's the point? Faith without works is dead. And when it's dead, if the cat is dead in your backpack, it's dead. It's not alive. If your faith in your backpack is dead, it's not alive. It's no good. And so what God is saying, and when he smiled at me, I knew that the vision of my life and of my church is right. Because sometimes you wonder, God, am I doing what's right? Because one question, if I could ask him, I would say, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Or this question, what am I supposed to do, Jesus? That was, if he let me speak in that dream, I would ask him, what am I supposed to do, Jesus? What do you want me to do? But he smiled at me and I knew what I was supposed to do. And that's bring people who are lost, who are walking in darkness, and bring them closer to Jesus. And I know that I'm right about that. Our vision, bringing people closer to Jesus at New Life, is twofold. It means bring yourself closer to Jesus and bring people who are lost, who are far from God, closer to Jesus. Twofold. We don't want you to bring everybody to church, but you yourself are living far from God. We don't want you to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus for years, but you're not bringing anybody to Jesus. See, it's that twofold, bringing people and myself closer to Jesus. And in my mind, he said, I'm pleased. When he smiled, there was no condemnation. Now, listen, in my dream, I knew I had sin in my life. But he didn't focus on that. He didn't judge me. And that's what I felt when Jesus said, God has not sent his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Now, there will be a day of judgment at the end. And everybody will be judged according to their works. There will be a day of judgment. The Bible says so. Everything must be fulfilled, whatever it says. However, he loves people. And especially if you received Jesus into your heart, he doesn't see you as a sinner. Although you got sin, you got sins, and Holy Spirit will be working on you. The work that he began in you, he will complete it until your last day. He will work on you. Don't make excuses. Don't deceive yourself saying, this sin is okay to God. No, no, no. He's not judging you. I believe I saw just a little glimpse of Jesus in a dream. Pastor calls it visitation. That's what I call it. It doesn't happen a lot. It's a rare thing. It might happen to you in a life. So don't look for it. Don't be jealous for me either. You know, just receive it as much as you can. And whatever you can receive, just put it aside. Just put it aside. Let it just be in your memory, on the shelf of your memory. I didn't plan to tell you this today because I said it in the night prayer on Friday. But the Lord obviously wanted you to hear it. God is real. There is a God. Some of you think that when I see him, I will believe in him. You won't. You have to already believe in him. And then when you see him, you'll be like, oh yeah, I already know. Faith is real, people. Faith is. I recognize what my faith was. It was a substance. When I saw him, I wasn't surprised that he was real because I had like a clump of faith inside of my chest. I don't know what it was, but I've already had that faith. It's not a clump, don't, you know. The best way I can explain, I felt my faith. I knew I had faith. And when I saw him, I was like, I know you. Oh, I got to tell you, he was about 6 foot to 6 foot two, I think, high. Because I looked at him like this. And then my senses came back and I stopped feeling him like I felt him. And then I was bummed out for the first day, I was bummed out. I'm like, what happened? What happened to me? Men, if you are those 20 and 30 and you're around me, we're building something. We're building a kingdom of God. Through us, Jesus is built. Women, you too. I don't know why I didn't see women, but women are so important to us. My wife is half part of what we do, and I'm the other half. Or she's 100% and I'm 100%, but it's a whole. I look at husbands and wives together. I know women who are not married here have gifts. But I saw those 20 to 30 men who bowed down like this when he walked away. They knew him on a new level. I'm feeling that the Lord is going to do something for men in our church. And when men are touched, women will follow. When men lead well, when men love Jesus, when men experience the love of Jesus, the women will feel that love and they will follow those men willingly. You don't have to quote scripture to follow. God wants to touch the men at new life. They lay down their lives. When the men feel the love of Jesus, nothing can compare. It changes their lives. Bible says, how can you love if you have not the love of the Father in you? Man, we could be the force of poverty in the world. We could be the force of problems in the world. We could be the force of children who are left without fathers. Or we could be man who stands strong and love our wives well and love our children and protect them, not abuse them. And maybe you're not together with your wife anymore, but you still have children. You need to love those children. You need to love. You need to walk in love. You can't be dirty and fight dirty with your ex or with your wife. You gotta love. How will you experience this love of Jesus? If you spend time with Jesus. Some of you spend time with Jesus now, but that's not enough. Sunday is not enough to spend time with Jesus. You must have personal devotional time every morning, every night, in a break time. You must have time with Jesus, with his word, so you can experience that love. You don't have to have a vision to experience the love, because that love in a vision, it fades. And then you're back to normal the next day. But the love that Holy Spirit builds, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that he grows in you. That cannot be taken from you ever. Satan cannot take it from you. Nobody can take it from you. It's a part of you. The love that Jesus had coming out of him was a part of him. It wasn't just an art of American niceness. It wasn't the art of American kindness. It was true love. It was true joy. It was true peace. We can be kind, but boy, we can hate. We can be kind, but we can be bitter. But this was coming from the inside. Lord, I want that love. I want, grow in us, Lord. Grow in the man. True love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faith and self-control. Grow in us that, Lord. In the next year, I believe in the 2014, God is going to do work in the man. He's going to grow something in them. He's going to give you love for people close to you. And he's going to give you the love for people of the world. and you're going to have a passion for eternity. And you'll say, this one thing I do, what is the most important thing for God? It's not how much money you have, how much materialism you have, how much you worship Him, how much money you give to Him, although those things are important. It's how many people can I bring closer to Jesus? Jesus said, those who are wise will bring many to righteousness. Who is righteousness? Jesus. Who is righteousness? Jesus. After that dream, after the bummedness went away, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm re-energized. I got more energy to go forward and see people saved and seeing their lives transformed. One of those things is life groups. One of those things is prayer that we have. I see men visiting people in prison, in jail. We have 3-4 guys in church who are connected to our church, in jail or in prison. I see ladies going and visiting people in the hospital, praying for people. I see when somebody is sick, people calling one another and saying, hey, I love you. Can I help you? Can I do anything for you? You want to go out for coffee? Maybe somebody's kind of sliding back and you can turn them back. But it only happens if you have the love of Jesus. Last thing I felt from Jesus, and you're going to like this. Every one of us in America, we're taught to feel special. I'm the special one. I'm the unique one. And sometimes, not sometimes, a lot, I feel like I'm the unique one. I'm the chosen of God. Everybody else is, I'm over here, and they're just right over here, you know? Be honest. Deep inside. In that vision, Jesus showed me that He was no respecter of men. What He showed me, that He cared about those guys who barely knew Him. They knew Him, but they didn't know Him like I knew Him. And I knew it. But to them, He was the same as He was to me. And I was like, why are you treating them like me? Listen, I'm not the special one. I'm just one of the brothers. God loves the pastor as much as He loves the usher, the security guy, and a cleaning lady, and the person who just got saved, and the person who was saved for 20 years. The love of Jesus is the same. I woke up, I'm like, okay, I saw the love, I saw everything, but something You showed me was that, I always felt special. Think about it, you probably always felt special too. You're special to Jesus, you know, because of the special circumstances you go through. No, I wasn't. I was kind of bummed about that a little bit, because everybody wants to be special to Jesus. I am special to Jesus, but so are you. We all are. All His children are special to Him. If you didn't give your life yet to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity. Would you stand to your feet, close your eyes, bow your head. I want to ask you if you know Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Him? Maybe you walked away. Maybe you backslid. Maybe you knew Him as a child because how your parents taught you, but you really personally yourself never made a commitment to follow Him. It was forced, or maybe it was coerced by somebody else. And today, something connected with you. And today, you want to say, Jesus, I want to follow You. I believe that You're real. I believe that You gave Your life for me. I believe You came to save me. I'm going to count to three. And on a count of three, would you please raise your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus? God loves you. He brought you here today. He changed my whole message so you can hear how much Jesus loves you. And how He's not here to judge you or condemn you or to guilt trip you. He loves you unconditionally. Nobody ever loved you like that. Your dad cannot love you like that. Your mom cannot love you like that. Your girlfriend, your husband, your wife cannot love you like that. How God loves you through Jesus Christ. On a count of three, if you want to give your life to Jesus, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, please raise your hand. 1 hand, 2 hands, 3. 4. Hallelujah. Raise it high. Come on. 5. Thank you. I want everybody to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I believe that You're the Son of God who came and died for my sins. You paid the price. I don't have to pay for it anymore. I give all my sins to You. My past, my present, and my future. Save me. Forgive me. Make me a part of New Life Family. In Jesus' name, I believe that I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and I'm a child of God. And the people of God said, amen. Clap your hands and bless God.